You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Welcome to the YouTube Passive Income Show, where we talk about transforming your life, ditching the 9-to-5 grind, and sharing your passion. My name is Dennis Trufin, and I want to help you create freedom in your time, money, and work through the long-term growth and power of YouTube. So in today's episode, we're going to be talking about starting your YouTube channel while having a full-time job. We're going to talk about setting goals. I'm actually going to share a little bit about my story and going through this process. We're going to talk about investing, outsourcing, and it's okay not being perfect. So we're going to break all of that down and we're going to share with you this process.
Welcome to the YouTube Passive Income Show, where we talk about transforming your life, ditching the 9-to-5 grind, and creating freedom in your time, money, and work with the power of YouTube. And now your host, Dennis Trufin.
Hello, Dennis.
Hello, Dennis.
Welcome to the show and the podcast.
Thanks. It's my first time here.
I like introducing you. I want to make sure that people know you a little bit as well while we go through and, you know, share and do these episodes. So today I wanted to quickly talk about something that I've been noticing a trend on, whether it's with the Academy members or honestly other people in my life over the years as I share with them that I do YouTube and that they get interested in wanting to do YouTube. And this is getting the ball rolling.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like it is a lot. So I don't want to take away from that. But there's a lot of times where I'll hear people talking and then by the time they actually want to take action, it could be months and sometimes even years down the road by the time they actually get to their first set of videos on their channels.
Yeah. And I could be a testament to that, right?
I didn't want to call you out directly.
No, that's fine. It's fine.
Let's do it. Yeah.
No, I'm totally fine sharing it. I've been in the Academy since you started back in October, November.
Yeah. I mean, you didn't start in the Academy to do YouTube yet because you were working with me, but eventually you're like, actually, I do want to do this.
Yeah.
So you're, I would say about a month and a half in now of being part of the actual group rather than being an employee in the group.
Correct. Yeah. And so with a month and a half being into it of I want to do this. It's still hard to be like, oh, there is something else I need to do. Right. Yeah. And I think the biggest obstacle speaking to it is right now I'm working. That's already producing.
You already have a source of income.
I already have a source of income. It's like, oh, now I have to go. I don't have to, but I get to go do this thing. But one, it might not pay out until 3, 6, 7 months later, but I have to start it now, right? And I think that's probably my biggest thing. I mean, probably most people, it's like, okay, I have to dedicate hours into this.
Is it going to yield something?
And then there's so many other people doing this. And that's not really my big thing, but it does come back up every now and again, especially now that I'm actually mapping it out. And it's like, oh, there's already.
Yeah, I would say in the last month and a half since you started in the Academy, being in the content creation portion, being held accountable is pushing you to do it.
100%.
So first of all, that's always the secret sauce is being in a space, whether you create it or come and join us.
Yeah.
Do you want to know a secret about doing YouTube? Because a lot of times you said it, you hit the nail on the head that I think a lot of people think about both things. One, is it worth for me to do it? Because I don't know, there's already so many channels. And then is it worth my time?
Yeah.
And usually we think about it in the context of monetary value or, being a content creator going full time. But what if I told you that even if you failed at those two things, it's still worth your time?
Yeah.
You know, so and the reason I say that is because the things that you go through to become a YouTuber or a content creator or creating passive income on YouTube, even if you're not the main person on the camera, but you're doing all the other stuff on the back end, you're learning so many different traits and skill sets that even if YouTube doesn't pan out, I can almost bet you dollar for dollar that you are going to use those skills in other places that will yield you great results.
Yeah.
So even if you don't end up going through and becoming a content creator that you thought you would, I can promise you those skill sets are going to transcend through all the different things you're going to do in the future. Plus whatever other media things come out or other ways of being able to make money come out, you'll be one step ahead of a lot of people because you've put in the effort and the work to try something, whether it ended up working out or not. Now, do I think you're going to be able to succeed? Yes. Do I think most people can? I think so. I think there's just a lot that you get to go through running through the mud, but I think a lot of times people get stuck and then try to turn back.
Yeah. And I mean, you make a great point. Regardless, right? Is it worth trying it out? 100%. And I know that. I genuinely know that. It's always just that putting your first step forward, right? And honestly, we've talked about it. I'm okay with failing. Truthfully, if we sit down 6 months from now and be like, bro, you totally messed that up. Like,
say that?
Yeah, you biffed it. Like, we could just buff it out. It's fine. But either way, like, I'm okay with that. We've talked about it. I'm at this point in my life, I'm okay with failure. Why? Because I know I can learn a lot more from it.
Yeah.
Right.
But you'll learn way more by doing something than just trying to learn from a book.
Correct.
Taking action is huge.
Exactly. Right. And we've talked about that on other episodes. I genuinely think there, like, I always have another reason, like, oh, I got this going on that I need to put the focus on, whether it's my business helping other businesses or being there with my wife, future kid, like all of these things. But it's like, if I don't do this now, what am I missing out from being 6 months from now? Right. Exactly. And that's even what I told my wife. I was like, okay. And the accountability is helping, because it's like, okay, set all of that aside. If I do it today, where would that yield me 6 months from now? And that's what's pushing me a little bit more, is like, okay, I could keep, things will keep coming up.
Yeah. Time's going to keep moving forward. Correct. Whether you do it or not. What does it look like in 6 months to have content out there that actually can be impactful and generate income for you in a way that you never thought possible? And, you know, we talk about this all the time, because you get to see more backends of YouTube analytics than most as well. And so, like, you get to see, like, oh my gosh, like, I run a couple of YouTube channels that I don't really put a lot of effort and time into comparatively to my main channel, and they still generate income.
Yeah. And I think that alone, we just talked about it, is that speaks more volumes as well. It's like, hey, I have these three other channels that I don't really spend time on, and they're generating more than most people are getting
in a paycheck,
whatever it is. It's like, this is where you could be. And it doesn't necessarily mean or need to be 90,000 subscribers. Yeah. It doesn't need to be 5 videos a month or whatever it is. You just need to start moving the needle so that it can do that. Yeah. Right.
No, that's a great point. And I love that you mentioned that those other smaller channels, they are under 5,000 actually each. And they generate some really healthy income, even if I'm not producing on a regular basis, because those are just side projects, fun hobbies. Kind of hobbies, think other ways to make money, testing out different theories, seeing what works, and actually also implementing what I've already done on the main channel, which is what generates the most revenue passively. But then these ones also are doing it in the same way as well too. So appreciate you sharing that with me, and I'm excited to share that, because, like, you even calling yourself out and saying, yeah, I get to get the ball rolling sooner. And I think that really ties into what we're going to be talking about today. So let's hop into the show.
Let's start the show.
Okay. So starting a YouTube channel while having a full-time job. Ooh, this takes me back.
Yeah.
This takes me way back. So I'll share my story here in a little bit, but I do want to really get started with something important when it comes to going through this process. I know what it's like to have a full-time 40-hour plus week job, as well as many other things. And again, we'll share that. I want to start with starting small.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I want to give people grace in the context of, you don't have to do a lot to make interest and impact in the process of this YouTube channel that you want to do. So whether you're already a full-time employee and have a YouTube channel started, or you're thinking about getting started and have a full-time job, I want to give you that permission to say, like, you can do things small.
Yeah.
Like, start small. What does it look like to do shorter videos for a little bit? Maybe don't put in as much time into editing styles. Don't put in too much of that effort to dry yourself out and burn out, right?
It's a real thing,
and people can get really exhausted very quickly. And so I say that obviously in the context of, like, once you start building habits, we talk about it quite often, which is Kaizen.
Yeah.
So when you're actually going through the process of learning, you're not just doing something once and then, like, that's how long it's going to take you to do it all the time.
Yeah.
Editing took me a long time at first to go through editing. But as I got better and better at editing, that time that it took me to actually edit a video got shorter and shorter.
Yeah.
Same thing with thumbnails, SEOing, all this, literally every skill I've gained in the process of becoming a YouTube content creator has gotten shorter as I've gotten better.
Yeah.
So because now I have skills, I have templates, I have experience, I can outsource, like, all of these different things I can do now because I started off smaller and then I gained that experience. Now, there were times that I think I overstepped that quite often, where maybe I should have gone a little bit smaller in my actions, and that definitely took a toll on me in the beginning stages. But again, I'll share that full story here in just a little bit, because I think sharing my journey and where I got from is, I think, important, because I've shared that with you to help save you from getting to where I got to at some points in my journey while still being able to succeed. Because I see it more clearly now that if I were in that position, how I would do it differently. And that's why I wanted to put this episode together, because I know there's a lot of people out there that are listening and are like, yeah, that's me. I have a full-time job, but I want to do YouTube. Yeah. And so there's like this kind of blend of, I got life still happening, I got work, and I want to create something different for myself. Cause yeah. that's where I was. I wanted to be somewhere else. I didn't want somebody else controlling my time, my energy, my income. Like, I wanted control for myself. So that's why I went pretty hard. I went full 40 hours a week working, probably close to 40 hours a week on YouTube. And then also my wife was running a new business at the time too. So I was probably putting like 15 hours into her business a week. So I didn't really have a lot of time for anything else. I probably wouldn't have done that. I probably would have gotten a little bit softer on myself. So that's why that first tip here is honestly just starting small. Yeah. Like, get started small, like kind of get the feel of things. But the one caveat to starting small is, I would say you need to stay consistent.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to start smaller, like maybe do smaller videos or just kind of like, you know, learn as you go, like, you really got to stay consistent. You can't be like, oh, I'm going to start now, and then like a month later, I'll do the next thing. No, like, yeah. you got to start small on a consistent basis. You got to build that habit over time.
Yeah, no, I love that. And then with that comes with, I mean, obviously consistency, but you're consistently setting goals.
Yeah. And I like that you say consistently setting goals, because sometimes you're going to hit your goals and you got to get prepped for the next one.
Yeah.
But I think starting off, you really have to have some clarity on where you're going. Now, this is one of my favorite things about goals. It doesn't have to end up being the way you say it's going to be, but I think just having a clear direction in which way you want to go.
Yeah.
Do you want to go full-time? Do you want to go part-time? Do you want to create passive income? Do you want to be a big celebrity on YouTube? Like, what do you want in this process? And have that as like a main, like, North Star, so to speak.
Yeah.
But then you can have smaller goals that you can hit and then like kind of move up on that ladder. I know a lot of people like to do subscribers as a goal. I tend to let people know, like, I would steer away from that. I would kind of focus more on views per day or per month or per week, whatever, you know, works best for you.
Yeah.
Because those are going to be more impactful for you than subscriber counts. And so setting, you know, goals of saying, hey, I want to hit 100 views a week starting off when you haven't done YouTube before, I think is a great, admirable goal. Yeah. And then once you get to 100, say, hey, let's double that. Let's get to 200, then 500, and 1,000 views per week, because those are really great goals. But setting goals and then also continuing to improve on those. Like, one of my favorite things, I think I've told you this before, was I set certain goals. And at the beginning, I did do subscriber goals because I didn't know better at the time. And so I remember when I was getting close enough to like a subscriber goal or one of my other goals, my brain would automatically trigger saying, I know I'm going to hit this. Let me get to the next thing now.
Yeah.
And sure enough, those things would come to fruition, right? So like, I would effectively say, my brain has calculated mathematically that I'm going to hit these goals. So I want to make sure that we keep improving on our goals. So we don't just get to one point, say, hey, we made it, and then rest on our laurels, right? So we want to keep kind of aiming for something newer as we know that historically or systematically, we're going to get to those goals that we've currently set for ourselves. So if you're like, hey, I'm going to do 100 views a week, and you're getting to 90 views a week right now, and I do want to start that small, because that's still really critical. You're like, okay, well, I'm going to hit 100 a week if I keep up with making more content. So now let me switch over to my new goal being 200 a week.
Yeah.
And now you have this like newfound excitement to hit these new goals and to go through that process.
Yeah, I love that. Well, and I mean, we're going to take a step further with setting the goals. How are you able to, speaking to people that have full-time jobs and everything, how are you able to manage that? I know you said you do it a little bit differently now. So, I mean, if you want to give some tips on that as well.
And you know, I'll be honest too. I set goals that were subscriber goals back then.
Yeah.
And so it was hitting my first 100, my first 1,000, right? 1,500, 2,000, all those kind of goals. And, you know, I would set them, and then I would take action by making more videos, because what I knew to be true was the more videos I made, the more likely people were to find me, the more likely they were to subscribe. And so, you know, again, going back into that, when it came to making those goals, I want to make them attainable. Obviously, I didn't want to say, oh, I want to get to 1,000 before I got to 100. Like, honestly, I think 100 is one of the hardest. Then 1,000 is really difficult as well, too. And then after that, it becomes a little bit different to get to 10,000. And so it's so wild how over time it almost becomes easier to get to new milestones with subscribers, if that's what you care about. But same thing with like views, like just moving up the ladder on how many views you're getting per month gets a little bit easier as you kind of get into a rhythm with your content creation.
Yeah.
And goals really help you get to that space. I did that full time, knowing that, like, again, I was working, you know, a regular job. It was a little sporadic on the schedule sometimes. So like, some days I'd be going in early, some days I'd be going in a little bit later in the afternoon. So it would be kind of like in those in-betweens that I would be trying to achieve those goals.
Okay. Yeah. I love that. And so what was your, if you could go back, because I mean, you talked about different things of like, okay, what people could, you know, especially working full time, what's something you would like advise, like, hey, you should give this to somebody else. So that way you have more time to create videos and invest in yourself, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different investments that you can do. And honestly, just investing in yourself is probably the most critical. And, you know, I wish I would have done this a little bit sooner. So let me actually go into my story, because this will actually lead into investing in myself. So when I really got started on YouTube, like I said, I was working my full-time job. I was working and I didn't love what I was doing anymore.
Yeah.
And I was really yearning for being my own boss, for having different kind of impact in the world. And for me, I was in a point where I was pretty stringent on income and like how much we were coming in. Plus we were running two new small businesses. So anything we would make was kind of getting invested into these businesses, so to speak, but mostly like we just had a very small budget and I didn't really spend any money on my own business, to the point where my wife actually paid somebody to do my logo for my birthday. I think it was my birthday or our anniversary. Sorry, it's our anniversary. She paid for that as my gift, because I wouldn't otherwise do it, because I wasn't willing to invest in myself at that time. Because either, I believe, if I'm like really being honest, looking back, I probably just didn't trust myself at the time that spending any kind of money would yield any kind of results. And obviously there are limits, right? Like if I spent $10,000 on a brand new channel and I have never done YouTube, I don't know if that would be a great investment necessarily. Could it work out? Great. Sure. Maybe. But like for the majority of people, I think even a little bit of money invested in a channel can go a long way. And I do recommend that. So like investing in some capacity, I always kind of say this when we talk about like what to get, I would just invest in a good audio piece first and foremost before anything else.
Yeah.
I could use my camera phone if I really needed to. I could use lamps or, you know, the lighting from outside, but the audio is probably the first thing I would invest for myself in the business. But I would also invest in myself in the context of like growing and education, whether it's through books, seminars, or, you know, a coach. Any of those kind of things can really help move the process along a lot better, because those investments in yourself are actually going to be impactful.
Yeah.
And so when I got started with my journey back in 2017, I didn't do any of that. Like so much so, like I told you, like I had to have somebody buy me my logo, because I just didn't want to do it for myself at that point. Cause I thought like I gotta scrounge every penny. And so, and I didn't make any money for the first 8 months of the channel anyway. So that was a whole nother thing too, that I was kind of going through this process with. So working that full-time job and then trying to create YouTube in the context of being its own full-time job, you know, it took a lot. Yeah. It was a lot of work. It was really hard and difficult at times. I'd say that I didn't go about it the best way possible. I would neglect the people in my life at times. And what I know now to be true, and wish I could have shared this with the people in my life, friends, family, partner, all that, is that it was so important to me to get out of the space of working for other people that I was willing to risk it all.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether that was healthy or not at the time, that's what I did. And if I could change that, I would have been more forthcoming about that information, because I didn't even really realize that I was so dedicated to getting out of a 9-to-5 job and having somebody else control my schedule and doing all these things that I wanted to be happy with what I did for my life or with my life, with work and how I impacted the world around me. And so I'm glad I'm where I'm at now. And also like what it would have looked like to share with people in my life saying, hey, look, if I don't do this, I don't know if I can be happy with how I'm showing up in the world. And so that's going to affect the rest of everybody around me. So this is that important to me. And I think I would have gotten a little bit of different grace. And I think I would have approached things a little bit differently, knowing that that is still my goal while, you know, still having impact around the people that are, you know, in my life at the time.
Yeah, no, that's great. And yeah, I don't think we realize it sometimes of like, not how deep we're in it, but essentially, right, when we're just so focused on the one thing.
Yeah.
And that's part of why I think you've mentioned like start small. Like,
yeah, I think starting smaller, I think that could have done some different things for me. And obviously, you know, this podcast didn't exist back then. So like, essentially, I'm just trying to talk to my younger self here. So if you're out there listening, you know, 2017 year old me, you know, I hope he takes this information and takes it with good intentions and then goes about it. And obviously, same thing for anybody else listening. If you're that full-time employee and if you want to make this work and you still got like a family and everybody else that you want to give attention and time to as well, but you know, just like I did, without a shadow of a doubt, like you don't want to be in the position you're in anymore and you want to work yourself and do things for yourself, you know, it is okay to start a little bit smaller, kind of figuring things out as you go versus trying to break everything.
Yeah.
Because that's what I did. I kind of like broke everything as I went because I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't an editor for the most part. I've dabbled a little bit here and there. I wasn't great on camera. You know, I didn't know how to script out stuff. I didn't know how to SEO. I didn't know how to do any of that stuff. And that's what this podcast is all about.
Yeah.
It's about sharing all of these insights that I can help you with. Because if you're listening to an hour podcast, that most likely was like 3 years of my life learning that I'm getting to share with you in 1 hour. So you're getting a lot of information in a shorter period of time. And then you could take this information and implement it quicker. And that that shorter time of implementation is going to have a bigger impact for you, even if you're doing smaller bits at a time.
Yeah. And that the little nugget out of that is just invest in yourself.
Yes, please invest in yourself. You're so important. You are the main operation. And I think if you put time into yourself, if you put value into yourself, again, get your own logo, be willing to spend a little bit of money of educating yourself. You know, it's so valuable.
Yeah.
That I think it's the best ROI you can have. And that was a big mistake I had, that I didn't think I was worth it at the time. Mm-hmm. Now I do. I invest in myself. I've put money back into myself through education, through growth, through coaches, through so many different means to continue to learn and grow, because I'm not stopping.
Yeah. No, I love that.
Yeah.
It's great.
Now, there are other ways to invest, and this is more like for the outsourcing portion of it. And so for me, there are two great ways to outsource the process on YouTube, because again, you're wearing a lot of hats when you're going through this, and especially if you're doing that part where you're starting a little bit smaller. So there's two ways you can outsource, and they both have different value adds for you. So there's thumbnails, which if you're not as great of an artist like myself, I would think outsourcing thumbnails is going to be one of the best ways you can get the most impact for your money.
Yeah.
So like the best ROI, so to speak, for impact. And the reason for that is because thumbnails are the billboard to your videos. So if you're not great at making thumbnails, but you're great at all the rest of the process and you're making great videos, nobody will know that because they're not clicking on your videos because their thumbnail is designed poorly.
Yeah.
So I would say thumbnails, I don't want to give a range necessarily on price, but like it's definitely within a decent price range that it's not going to like blow people's budgets, so to speak, that you can pay other people. There's people online that you can go check out. I think in our resources tab in the show notes, you can click on our resource page and we have somebody that we do recommend. So if you want to go check them out, you can let them know that we sent you so that way they can take care of you. And so paying for thumbnails will help get you bigger impact on your channel for a minimal cost. Then the other option you can do for outsourcing is your editing. Now, editing is going to cost you more.
It is, yeah. It's more costly, but it gives you back more of your time.
Way more of your time. So if you're somebody who was listening earlier and you're like, ah, Dennis, I don't want to go small. I want to go big. Cool. What does it look like to at least outsource and pay for editing? Because one, if you do it early enough, you don't have to sit there and spend the time to not just learn it, but then to actually do it. Because that can equate to so much of your time.
Yeah.
That if you're outsourcing editing, that is going to be such a time saver for you that you could either A, make more content if that's the way you want to go, or B, you can use that time to still stick around with like family and friends and be around and not be a hermit like I was for a long time for the beginning stages of my YouTube channel. So we do have a recommendation for those again, also in the show notes. That one will actually put its own link in the show notes, but also on our resource page, you'll see that as well too. And so for that, it's so powerful. I was definitely at the beginning stages again, because I didn't feel like I was worth the investment for myself to actually pay for somebody to edit my videos or even the thumbnails for that matter for the first couple of years. And I was just like, man, the amount of value I could have gotten back having paid somebody to do the edits time-wise or like the ROI on doing thumbnails, not thinking that I needed to somehow figure all of it out, because I'm pretty hard-headed. So if you're listening and you're like, no, I'll just do it all myself.
I can do it better.
Yeah. Hi me. Like I'm hard-headed. I'm like a stickler in the idea that like I could just do it all. I could figure it all out, and you probably can. And also, what does it look like to pass that on so that way you can focus on maybe the areas that you're best at? Maybe you're better at scripting, or maybe you're better on camera. Maybe you are better at thumbnails, so you can outsource the editing, or maybe you're great at editing and you can outsource the thumbnails, because then that's where you can still thrive. And so kind of being able to let other people take the reins in areas that you're not the best at or allows you to have more of that time. And so, yeah, if I were there, I would definitely do that, because I definitely didn't do it at the beginning, and that was very costly for me. And I can only imagine, if you maybe seen those like newsletters or articles where they're like, if you invested in Apple back in 1992, you would have $1 million, right? Like you've seen those kind of posts. I do think about, what would have it look like if I invested $1,000 into editing for, you know, whatever amount of months that would have paid for at the time in 2017, and what kind of return on investment I would have gotten at that point.
Yeah. Because you've seen the return now.
Yeah.
Like you know, outsourcing some edited videos, what it's done.
Yeah. Outsourcing a lot of different things in the business. Outsourcing, what is it? Relationships with brands. I have that for you now. Like you do that almost full time at this point where you talk to brands exclusively.
Yeah.
And like I outsource that because now I have time to do the things I'm really, really good at. Yeah. So yeah, what would it look like if, 7 years ago, I invested $1,000 in the business in a way that actually was impactful. I think I would have been in a much greater space and probably a little bit healthier in the early times of the journey as well too.
Yeah. No, I love that. And then let's go into something that we talk about all the time.
Oh yeah.
It's batch recording.
Yes. So batch recording is great for whether you're a full-time YouTuber or, you know, have a full-time job and doing YouTube on the side. Batch recording is so valuable because I like to think of like we're in different modes when we're in different parts of the process. So, you know, for me, there's usually like a handful of processes where, you know, doing research, then we're scripting or bullet pointing, then we're recording, then we're editing, and then the thumbnail process, and then the upload process. So that's, for me, at least that's about six different settings that I can go through.
Six different hats.
Yeah, six different hats, six different modes I can be in. So for me, and what I would say, if you're somebody who's doing things full time, this might feel, at least early on, that you're like not getting ahead, but to spend your time actually batch recording, but like batching your whole process. So, you know, full time, you're going to be limited on the days of the week and, you know, the days in a given day. And so maybe your first day you're saying, okay, let me come up with SEOing or, you know, planning out 10 videos. And then maybe, you know, 2 hours later, because that might not take too much time, but like a couple hours later, maybe you script all 10 videos, right? And then maybe you're like, okay, I'm good for the day. And then the next day, once you have enough time, you're saying, okay, now that all of those are written out and ready to go, I can batch record half of them, maybe all of them if possible, if I have, you know, some cough drops with me.
Yeah.
And then you just batch record all of them. And then you do the same thing with, you know, thumbnails, unless you outsource, editing, unless you outsource, and then uploading, you do those in batch recordings, and then you can schedule out a couple of weeks in advance. So at the beginning, it probably will slow you down a little bit, but then you're going to get ahead of time, ahead of things because of how you can schedule things out, that you will actually be in a better place. And I think with having that skill set now versus back then, I think if I had been able to do that back then, I would have been in a much better position because it is hard to get out of one mode and get into the next, so to speak. So like, and I do that now, right? Like, even though YouTube is my full-time, I still love doing where I do all my research in one go. I do all of my scripting in one go, my editing in one go, whatever I actually still do myself. And then like uploading in one go. So like I splinter off these things because even as a full-time creator, it's still so valuable. Mm-hmm. And so I know it's valuable for somebody who's working a full-time job.
Yeah, no, that's good. And I mean, those are things that I'm considering as I step into, you know, the YouTube space of like, okay, I've mapped out my first 10 videos. It's like, okay, I did that all in one setting. So that way I don't have to like, oh, map one out and then go record, then go do the editing and then do the description and upload and all the other things. It's like, I don't have to go through all that just to restart.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then going back and forth between those modes is, it's a little bit more jarring than just sticking with it and kind of building momentum.
Yeah.
In that space. And another thing I do want to also bring up, and this is, I think, really critical, and this is going to be hard for my perfectionists out there. You don't have to be perfect. I actually would challenge you to not be perfect. Be messy. Like be super messy in this process, because if you're full-time, you got other really important things to make sure your bills are paid. And I get it.
Yeah.
So if your videos don't come out perfect, cool. Release them.
Yeah.
If you're editing, keep it short and simple. Don't be perfect. Don't need to worry about like every cut to be exact. Leave a little dead air if you absolutely have to. Leave your sneeze in there. I don't care. But like, don't worry about being perfect. If anything, you get better with time, as long as you're putting the intention to do the Kaizen method, which is you're improving 1% at a time.
Yeah. And I mean, we talk about it in different capacities, whether it's our academy, whether it's podcast, if the value's there, whether you're, you know, talking about investing, whether you're talking about budgeting apps, whether you're talking about your favorite board games, whatever the niche is, as long as your value, the information you're providing is there, the video doesn't matter.
Yeah, the video quality is not as important. Audio is still really good, but like you could have choppy looking video. You can have your camera sideways. Lighting is off. People don't generally care if the value is there. They're going to be able to absorb it still. That's what they care about the most. And so I would push people to say, I'd rather you get a video out and it be messy than wait till it's perfect and then take your time to release it, because then all of a sudden you're not building that momentum, you're not building that habit to be releasing content. Because how are you going to get better if it takes you 6 weeks to release one video versus six videos in 6 weeks? You're gaining better momentum over time.
Yeah, you're building that muscle. And again, I'm taking this in currently, right? I have to remind myself, and even my wife, we're partnering up on this one, but essentially, like, it doesn't need to be perfect. It doesn't need to look a certain way. It doesn't need to sound like whatever it is, as long as the information we're providing is good. We could worry about all that other stuff later once we've had 15, 20, 30 videos out. And then we could be like, oh, okay, we can start adjusting some things because we've already started. We've laid down that foundation.
Yeah, exactly. And this other point here is my secret sauce is find a group. Even when you're working full-time, find a group of people. Either you create it yourself, you can come join our monthly academy calls. Find people who are in the thick of it, so to speak, right? Like that are going through this process, that are trying to build up, you know, whether you're finding other full-time employees that are also trying to go full-time on YouTube, you know, put that together, email people out, send requests, go find these other groups, whether you have to pay for them or they're free. A group of people, when I was going through this process going full-time, I started what I would call a mastermind back then of, it got to about 9 people, but like I built this out because I was honestly on the brink of not wanting to do it anymore because it was so tough at times to hold everything together. But when I found other people who were also interested in going full-time with YouTube, you know, we're in that thick of it with me, and it was a beautiful place to be in. And what I love most is always telling the story about how all these people had eventually got to a lot of the goals that they wanted. All of them that wanted to go full-time went full-time. One of them wanted to just have another great source of income, and he was able to do that. And that group ended up just having exactly what they were looking for. And I know that for myself and all of them included, they had many times spoken about how that group is what kept them going.
Yeah.
Even at times when they wanted to quit. So again, look for it yourself. You can come join us by checking out our resources in the show notes down below if you want to come join our academy on our monthly calls as well too. So if you're somebody who is having a YouTube channel or starting a YouTube channel and you have a full-time job, start small.
Yep.
Set goals. Invest in yourself, please. Invest in yourself.
Yeah.
Either by outsourcing thumbnails or editing, or, you know, paying for a logo. Freaking just pay for the $20 logo on Fiverr, please. Learn about batch recording and doing segments at a time, so that way you can be in modes and get the best value out of every section that you're going through. Don't be perfect. Please be messy. It actually is better for you to continue to build that momentum and get that habit built. And then, of course, lastly, like we just talked about, find a group or create the group. I don't care. Just get around people who are also YouTubers who possibly also do full-time work, if that needs to be the case as well too, because that's going to be the secret sauce to getting success. You can check out our resources if you want to come join us as well. But I really appreciate you listening, and I'm excited for you, George, to be going through this process as well. So thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next time.
See you next time.
Thank you again for listening to the YouTube Passive Income Show, which is part of the Master Passive Income Network. Now, in this episode, we talked a lot about some resources, which we'll have linked up in the show notes down below for you, including our 7 days to uploading your first YouTube video, which is going to be a checklist that's entirely free for you to utilize, again, in the show notes down below. Have a fantastic day, and I'll talk to you next week.